For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
You are speaking to us and that you show your truth to us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the subject, Be Prepared Unto Every Good Work. And let's begin by looking at the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. It says in Isaiah 43, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And this is talking about preparation. This is talking about being ready. This is talking about in a time or a place where apparently God isn't, in a desert, and yet there is the voice of God and there is the message of God to be prepared and to be ready for the blessings that God brings. So we would have to change in our alignment and in our thinking. That's what the symbolism is pointing to. Now verse 4 says, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." So you can see that it's talking about great transformations and changes. Now that can be talking about in people's lives and also be talking about in the world around us, the effect of the gospel as well. Verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now if that's the promise in verse 5, that everyone, all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord, then wouldn't you want to say, get ready and be prepared for this phenomenal revelation? Wouldn't we want to be saying, well, if the promise is true that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, then we better get ready for that. Prepare our lives, change the way we're thinking, and be ready for something dramatically different. Let's look in the New Testament in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we can see a lot about this idea of being prepared unto every good work. And Paul talks to Timothy about this. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll start from the start of the chapter there, in 2 Timothy 2 it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now this is a part of preparation about how to perpetuate into the future the things of God. You see, Paul was training up Timothy, and Timothy was to train up others, and they were to train up others, so that into the future the message of Paul, the teachings, would go forward. And this is very important and a part of preparation about looking into the future, about, you know, it's not just what we're doing now, it's what's the outcome of what we're doing now and what should we see for the future. And Paul had a big vision. He had a vision that his message is going to go forward and that it's going to be multiplying. And that's exactly what you can see in practical steps here. In verse 3 it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And so part of this preparation is the training or being ready and being exercised in that there's a mission. We're prepared for a purpose. There's a mission. And so we're doing things, we're exercising, we're doing things. So we can't be waylaid or put off. We have to go through in carrying out what we need to do. Now, tonight's message is about being prepared unto every good work. Well, there's the side of being prepared, and that's what we're just talking about now, but also the fact of works or actions mean doing something, putting in the effort, and getting through in getting things built or done or accomplished. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So you will receive rewards and results if you do things the right way. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboureth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, incidentally, the husbandman is the one that's looking after the animals and looking after the agricultural things. Now, you cannot be neglecting the animals or neglecting the crops and think that that's going to go well for the future. So there has to be this work that the husbandman is doing. And as he's tending to the fruits, he becomes a partaker of these fruits, or he gets rewards or results. So he's encouraged, he's blessed. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So notice now, not only has there been a preparation, but now there's a working, and the working is unto every good work. Well, what's every good work? That Christians or people everywhere, when they hear the gospel and they're being converted, that's the result that he's looking to. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So remember now we're talking about being prepared unto every good work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he's talking about putting things into your memory and getting into the word of God, studying, hearing, and of course there's ministries or ministering with the word of God. That is, people teaching the word and explaining it and understanding it properly. So this is part of the good works. This is part of and ultimately every good work. Verse 16 says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. So there's obviously a preparation that's going to happen with vessels. Verse 21, he explains this. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So there's two kinds of vessels you can be. You can be a vessel that's for no good. You can be a vessel, a person that's an instrument of corruption, of error, of things that are not good. Or you can be a person that is used of God, that is for good and is for his glory. And it says that there's a choice that people have in their working and in their choices. And the choices come down to, are you going to prepare yourself? Are you going to do something? Verse 21 says, if a man purge himself from these, so if you lay aside the ways of dishonor and be a person that in their life is going to do things to the honor and glory of God, then you're going to be able to be used of God, because he says sanctified and meet for the master's use, so useful to God, and prepared unto every good work. So prepared unto every good work means that there's a potential now for you to do good works, that God can use you, but not just some good works, but as you're a vessel able to be used of God, unto every good work. That means to the full potential of what God has raised you up for, or can use you for. So this is very important, because it's saying that we can make a choice, and that God wants to use us for good, and he can use us to a great degree of good if we be willing. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. So Proverbs 4:18. So we want to get now into this area of unto every good work. Every good work. So how far should we be going in God? Well, Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." I want you to get the idea when he says unto every good work, that there's an increase, and that there's an ability to go more and more. And here he's talking about, you know, you're a Christian, your way, your path, and who you are is of light, shining light. But verse 18 tells us not only is it light, but it is increasing. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day means there should be a growth, there should be a development, there should be an increase in the luminosity and in the ability to shine. There should be an increase. It says more and more unto the perfect day. So not just got a bit lighter, but unto the best possible light that can shine, unto the perfect day. Meaning we can go to every good work, meaning that God's got things to accomplish in the earth to the ultimate degree, and that's really quite a blessing. But most people aren't thinking like that, that's possible, or that God would use people that way, or that he has a plan to fulfill that in history. In fact, they're looking at history like things are getting worse. They're not thinking unto every good work. They're thinking like, oh, Antichrist is taking over. They're not thinking unto the perfect day. They're thinking, no, the darkness is coming. It's already here. You know, we see all these evils around today, and that's only going to get worse, they think. Well, that's not what the Bible is saying, and that's not the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is increase in light, increase in glory. Let's go and just follow that line of thinking for a moment. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 60. In Isaiah 60, Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Now these terms like rising mean you went from good works unto every good work. You went from the shining light of the path of the just to the perfect day. You see, there's an increase to the full level. So in this case, in understanding what he's talking about basically essentially world evangelism in this particular prophecy. Well, world evangelism should be not I just was able to be a witness here, but that the church is a global witness, not just a local, you know, one or two people witness. And you can see that's the same concept in all of the gospel. Jesus doesn't want you to be a victor, walking in victory, or I could walk into victory over one or two things, but he wants us to be walking in victory over all things, because all things are under our feet. He wants us to be looking like that we have the complete victory over all everything, and even to the point where he says, over the victory over death. In other words, we should believe in the power of what Jesus walked in, the power of the resurrection. In other words, in the ministry of the apostles and in the prophets in the Old Testament, the dead were raised. That should be the things that we can see in the Christian gospel, that the power of the devil and the power of darkness and the power of death and the power of what seems to be impossible is a power that is overcome through the power of God. So all things are possible to him that believeth. And we see the miracles of Jesus are actually a list of examples for us of things that we should believe. If the blind get their eyes opened in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and in the book of Acts, then that should be happening today as well, and more prolifically around the world. That's what it means unto every good work. So it means both in our own lives that we walk in a greater victory, but also that the church walks in greater victory as well as a whole. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, we're looking at chapter 9, he's talking about taking up the offerings and what the blessing is when you give in the offerings. So that's what these two chapters are talking about. And we're looking at chapter 9 and verse 8. And in chapter 9, 8, so we could ask a question. If you give or sow, you know, this principle of sowing in the offering and giving, can you outgive God? Could you give such a big amount that he can't multiply to you tenfold of what you give because God can't supply the increase? Well, that's just impossible. That's a silly question, really, because we know that God does supply the increase because he's got infinite riches, really. And so all things are able to be multiplied, even to the great amount being given. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." So do you need help in any area in your life? Do you need to walk in victory in any aspect of your Christian walk? Well, there is all grace that will address every need in every instance, in every way. "That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Do you think God is a God of increase? Do you think God is the God of the mathematical line that goes up and up and up? Yes, he is. Because he's not just wanting you to go on a linear progression in a straight line up. He wants you to be on the curve up, where there is multiplication, multiplication, and multiplication. And so you're going up and up and up. And that's the kind of thing he's talking about here, because he says, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants to fund you with financial prosperity for you to be able to accomplish the callings and works that you have been called to do in your life. You know, if you've been called to minister in certain ways or to have certain gifts in the body of Christ, to do things, God wants you to be able to be blessed, to be able to do those things well, to be able to do those things to the full. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see, he's talking about you going up, knowledge increasing, going up, being fruitful in every good work. So in everything, what you're able to accomplish, God is there to energize that, to help, to make that you go up and up. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Thessalonians 2:17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We don't just find it once in the Bible. It's not just like, oh, well, we found it once, that's it. But we find it over and again. He's saying that we should be strong and increasing and multiplying and blessed and walking in full grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So every good word means to the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit. To every good word that you can give from the Spirit. Also, we know the fact that to understand the Bible, if you understood the Bible fully, that would be a wonderful thing. To be able to have a understanding, to be able to interpret the Bible properly, that would be a great gift. Because today, if you ask theologians or people who, you know, run Bible colleges or whatever, they have a view that you can't interpret the Bible fully or properly. They all think you can't. They think no one's got a monopoly or no one's able to do it properly, and they in fact argue with each other about different ways of interpreting the Bible. Well, that's a very low way of thinking, because the Bible is showing us, if you study it out, that we can attain wisdom. We can attain and understand what does the Bible mean. Let's actually have a look at that, just so you know that, in Proverbs chapter 1. So I'm just answering a specific question here. Is it possible for Christians to have right interpretation of doctrine or to understand the Bible properly? Is it possible? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 1, 5 and 6 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Notice this, unto every good work will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Meaning, is the meaning or interpretation or the understanding of Bible doctrines or teachings or what God's saying hidden or too far away from us? No, he said, say not in thine heart who will go up to heaven to bring it down to us. No, he's saying it's right here. It's the word of faith which we preach. In other words, it's at hand, it's attainable. And how do you attain it? Well, you believe and you exercise yourself in attainment. You say, I thank you, Lord, that I do have the wisdom of God. First, you can pray for the wisdom. James chapter 1 shows us that. But when you receive that, you shouldn't keep on thinking like, oh, I don't have it and I can't get it and it's impossible to understand and, you know, God is so beyond comprehension and his ways are beyond understanding. No. We read in Isaiah that he says that the rain comes down and waters the earth, meaning God gives you his thinking and his revelation. It's not all locked up in heaven away from you, but God is revealing it. He reveals it in many ways, by the way. He reveals it through creation and nature, but most primarily two ways: through you having a Bible and understanding it, and through the Holy Ghost being given, which is for all flesh, meaning you too. God's Bible and God's Spirit are for you. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That means we can understand, we can attain unto knowledge, unto knowing what God is meaning or saying, unto every good work. Because it's not just knowing, then you act on what you know. That's what wisdom does. It acts on what it knows. And using that knowledge aright, you are able to attain and achieve every good work. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. Let's look into the end of the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, Hebrews 13, 21. Hebrews 13, 21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So you can know what the will of God is. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus rose from the dead that we might be able to walk in that power that God wants us to walk in, of walking in a perfection, the perfection that he gives. Make you perfect in every good work, so walking in good works properly and fully to our full potential and to what he's called us to do, according, or every good work to do his will. So, you know, that's obviously the same. Doing God's will and doing good works obviously is matched together there. Working in you, so there's a work of God in you that you tap into. It's not out of your own strength. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. If it's Christ in you, then that's God. And is God able to do to the full degree the good works? Yes. So if Christ is in us, we've been born of him, then we should be able to do those things that are the works of God. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God actually isn't really in himself doing the works as such in heaven, because God is sitting in heaven in this sense. But how is God doing the works except that he's got people here who are on his behalf doing the works? Now, yes, the Holy Ghost is on earth doing works, but the point is that Jesus is not running around on earth right now, running into hospitals and raising the sick and running around and you know, getting people to understand that drinking beer and things is not good for their health. Jesus isn't running around on earth, you know, helping the poor and giving financial donations and things like that. Jesus isn't doing that today. He's sitting in heaven. But what's he doing? He's expecting, isn't he? He's expecting that what the promise is, that his enemies be made his footstool. So if it's not Jesus running around on earth doing this, then how are the sick going to be healed today, except that not in panic mode or in a silly way, not in a silly way, Christians will be going around and doing things. They will write and speak and meet with people and do the works and set up ministries and have efforts being put into it and prayers and stepping out in faith and doing all the things of the work of the gospel. That's how people around the world today should be impacted with the gospel and the things that the gospel brings, the blessings of salvation. That's how it happens. Not Jesus running around doing it, but it's him in us and through us that does the works. In other words, we have to be the hands and feet, literally, of God on earth. That's why he said preparation of the gospel of peace. That's our feet prepared to preach the gospel. And he said, ye, the Christians, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what Jesus said. Didn't say Jesus would lay hands on the sick today and they will recover, but he said believers would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So it's believers' hands and feet, it's believers' mouths that he uses to speak and be a witness today. Because he said, it's not you that speak, it's God that speaks when you're brought forward to ask the reason about what you believe, or if you're brought on a trial, or people ask a question. You are speaking really as the mouthpiece of God. This is what the Bible shows us. Unto every good work. Let's look in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. In Matthew 13, 23, we find the principle of increase unto every good work, to the full measure and level. This is a biblical principle. Matthew 13, 23. Matthew 13:23 says, and he that received seed being the word of God, into the good ground, that's into your heart, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So notice that you have to not only hear but understand. Can't be, oh, the word of God is there, but you have to understand it, which also bringeth forth, or which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So is there a problem in the seed, or is there some kind of factor in the seed that says, oh, I'm only a 30-fold seed, So I'm only going to give you a 30-fold return. But other seed, well, it's a different kind of seed, and that will give you 100-fold. Is that what he's talking about? No. The issue isn't in the seed at all. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The same seed has the potential for 100-fold always, in fact. But the seed does something. It goes into ground, which is your heart. So if you hear and understand the gospel, but you hear it and understand it, and you're not understanding it all in every doctrine properly, maybe you don't understand about the doctrine of healing, then your Christian walk might be a 30-fold Christian walk. You're a Christian, you certainly believe in Jesus as your Saviour, but you're not understanding the Pentecostal doctrines and things like that. You're walking in a 30-fold level of Christianity. Yes, you're blessed, you'll go to heaven when you die, you are doing good works, surely. But there's more. There's more you can do. You can be more perfect. We know this because when Apollos was taught about Pentecostalism by Aquila and Priscilla, that they expounded to him the message of the gospel more perfectly, telling him about what is the Holy Ghost and what does he do. And when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, then his ministry from being an evangelist went up from a, so to speak, 30-fold ministry up to a 60 and to a 100-fold ministry. We know that because Paul accounted that Apollos was an apostle like him. And so therefore it must have been like a 100-fold ministry in the analogy. And a 100-fold represents the highest yield or the full potential that you can walk in. Does God want us to be, you know, just, oh, I'm just doing good works and struggling along and just, you know, do my bit for the kingdom? Does he want us to have that mentality, or does he want us to have a mentality like we're growing every day, we're increasing, and we're coming to a higher level and going forward? See, there's a difference between survival works, survival Christianity, or I'm surviving, I'm not going to give in to Antichrist, I'm just going to survive. Maybe I'll hide in a cave and be like the prophets in the time of when Elijah was around, hide in the cave so I won't get persecuted by the Baal worshippers. You know, you can have that kind of thing where you're surviving and, oh yes, I'm a prophet of God and I'm praying secretly in the cave and, you know, we're being looked after just as well, we're surviving into the future. Well, that's a very low way of thinking. It's good that you're not going to give in to the world. It's good that you're being a prophet, but it's not good enough. Because you can go up from a 30-fold surviving Christian or a mediocre level Christian to being a 60 and 100-fold. And so we should have a desire for us to grow and to go forward and to go into the fullness, not to be, yes, I'm saved and I'm doing good, but to say, I'm going unto every good work. Let's conclude with Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19:29. We'll close with this verse here. Matthew 19, verse 29. It says, Jesus said, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Once again, we see this idea that if you go fully for God and say God first in every area to the full, God more important to me than a house, God more important to me than money or whatever, God's number one, and if God's really number one, he's saying if you go for him, then God's blessing does come to you. And it comes to you that yes, you will have things in this world and blessings, but notice that he says shall receive an 100-fold, meaning there's a multiplication reward that is coming and is available for the people of God, the full level, 100-fold. And also in the world to come or in the future, where we're really looking for the eternal rewards, he says, and shall inherit everlasting life. Well, you know you're going to be going forward as a Christian, that you'll be definitely going on the right path to to the full end of your salvation with that way of thinking. Because if you're just a holdout Christian, or I'm under siege and holding on, there's every chance that the devil can slip in somewhere, and the next thing you know, you're backsliding, and the next thing you know, oh well, a little bit of fornicating or a little bit of worldliness is okay, and the next thing you know, you're no longer even holding out for Christ at all, because you've not had a mentality of increase or growth or going up in Him, but barely holding on, you gave in to the devil. You see, there's two ways of thinking. We can go forward unto every good work, be prepared to have that mentality of going up, or if we're not, we're staying in the same place. Well, as Smith Wigglesworth said, staying in the same place is as good as going backwards. Staying in the same place is like being in a rut, and you won't go out of that rut, and in fact can take you right away, because you don't have an increase way of thinking. So tonight we should be encouraged that we can go forward and up and increase in Him, that God wants us to abound unto every good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for that in the name of Jesus, that You're helping us and encouraging us, and we can go forward in You, and we can increase in You, and that it's a good thing for us to grow and develop. And we thank You, Lord, that the light does get brighter, and that we can shine more and more, be more effective for You, in You, and be profitable servants. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.